그러셔야 못 하러. 매한 수고 돼.
알함둘릴라히 와흐다후 라 샤리카 라 왓살라투 왓살라무 알라 만 라 나비야 바드 암마 바드 파아우즈 빌라히 미나 쉐이탄 라짐 비스밀라히 르흐마니 르히임 파만 야말 미나 쏘리하티 와후와 무미눈 팔라 쿠프라나 리사이히 와 인나 라후 카티분 사다칼라후 알 아짐 وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us this great opportunity of experiencing this blessed month of Ramadan. Once it comes to this blessed month of Ramadan, we all try our utmost to change for the better. We try to reform our lives. We try to rekindle our spiritual connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once it comes to reforming ourselves, we usually confine this reformation to our actions. Whereas the reality is that during the month of Ramadan, we are not only to try to reform ourselves partially. We have been given a complete religion by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, due to which we are to try to completely reform ourselves. I mentioned this point, we have a complete religion. Something's come to my mind, so I'll make mention of it before yourselves. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during his first and final pilgrimage, was upon the Mount of Arafah on the day of Friday, a verse was revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Within this verse, we find a mention of the completion of the Deen of Islam. When the Jews came to hear of this verse being present within the glorious Quran, they approached Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and they said to him that you have one verse within the glorious Quran. If we were to have been given this verse within our book, the Torah, or this was to be revealed upon our Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, then we would have taken this day as a day of rejoicing, commemorating, and celebrating. In other day words, we would have taken this day as a day of Eid. Within this verse, we find a mention of the completion of the Deen of Islam. We need to pay attention to this point. Some people say that when Deen was completed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why do people then discuss rulings that came about at the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala an? When Deen was complete upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why do people make mention of rulings which came around at the time of Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an? Deen was complete. There's no need to look towards anyone after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We say that this understanding is the incorrect understanding. And the reason for this is that when Deen was complete upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that complete Deen within itself had all the verses of the glorious Quran which were revealed prior to that, and also all the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which were mentioned before that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had already made mention, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ, that hold tight to my sunnah and also the sunnah of my rightly guided khulafa. The four khulafa of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam have already been mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made mention of the completion of the deen of Islam, when this verse al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati was revealed upon him. And it's amazing, Allahu Akbar, the trust the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had within his rightly guided khulafa. I normally mention this point time and time again. Why? Because living in this time, people are trying to take us away from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. People attack Islam in different ways. They don't confine it to one man alone. Shaitan will try in one way. If he does not succeed, then he will try in another way. He doesn't succeed again, he will try in another way. And Allah Ta'ala has explained this to us within the glorious Quran. وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُبَتِّكُنَّ آذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. Shaitan will not only try to take up one method in order to deviate yourselves, he will take up every possible method he has before himself. And after he's taken up every possible method, he won't only approach us from one angle, he will approach us from every angle. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ. And the outcome of these attacks of shaitan will then be وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. The majority of us will fall prey to these attacks of shaitan. My brothers, this struggle in this worldly life is a real struggle. It's not a struggle we can overlook and we can belittle. We normally say that it's very easy to pass this worldly test. We will then experience paradise in the hereafter. If someone comes to us during this worldly life of ours and they say that we set you a reward of £1 million if you were to complete a task, when they set such a great reward, we automatically know that this struggle is going to be a real struggle. If someone sets a reward of £10, then we know, yes, there will be a struggle, but that will be minimal in its nature. When Allah Ta'ala sets the reward of our worldly test, if succeeded, to be paradise in the hereafter, مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ, no one's ever seen such blessings, no one's ever heard of such blessings, and such blessings have never passed upon the hearts and minds of an individual. When this is the reward of our struggle during this worldly life in the hereafter, my brothers, this struggle is a real struggle. This struggle is not a fake struggle. It won't be an easy test during this worldly life, my brothers. It's not that we're going to have to walk into disobedience of Allah Ta'ala in order to disobey Allah Ta'ala. No, disobedience will present itself before ourselves and we will have to try to turn our faces and our backs towards this disobedience of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. I'm mentioning to the youngsters, we find within Al-Hadithul Qudsi refers to a statement of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam attributes towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. سَبَعَةٌ يُضِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. Upon the day of judgment, there will be seven groups of people who will be shaded beneath the throne of Allah ta'ala on the day there is no shade except the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers, remember, we shouldn't only think about paradise in the hereafter. There's also another station of hell in the hereafter. Some people will only think about paradise. They will forget the concept of the punishment of Allah Ta'ala. Other people will forget the concept of paradise and only think about the punishment of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Each one of these two concepts are incorrect. Why? Al-Imanu Bayn Al-Khawfi Wal-Raja'. Iman is a station which puts us between hope and fear. We have hope with regards to paradise and we fear the hellfire. And Allah Ta'ala so nicely summarizes this within a portion of the verse of the glorious Quran. اِعْلَمُوا, everyone should understand, أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ Once it comes to Allah's punishment, it is severe. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Yet Allah Ta'ala is the most forgiving and the most merciful. The Qur'an, my brothers, is amazing. Ramadan, the month of the Qur'an. What effort have we put in to try to understand this message of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi makes mention that one is that message which is sent from a creation to another creation. If the language differs, the recipient will try to take up every method in order to try to understand this message. Until he doesn't, he will never become peaceful, he will never find himself at content, and he will never become tranquil. This is a case, once it comes to a message sent from a creation to a creation, and the nature of this message is such, it has a mention of temporary messages, rulings relating to a temporary life, i.e. this worldly life. Allah Ta'ala, the Creator, has sent every single one of us a message in the form of the glorious Quran. We don't understand the language, yet we sit aside thinking that we don't need to understand the language of the glorious Quran. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. This glorious Quran is the rope of Allah Ta'ala upon the earth. If we want to save ourselves, we need to hold on to this Quran. If we don't attach ourselves to the glorious Quran, like an individual within the depth of the water, has no possibility of savior unless he clings onto a rope and someone pulls him out. We have no possibility of success in this world if we don't cling onto the rope of Allah Ta'ala in the form of the glorious Quran. I was mentioning, Allah Ta'ala mentions punishment first. He mentions His mercy thereafter. Why? If Allah Ta'ala made mention of His mercy first, we would think Allah Ta'ala is the most forgiving, Allah Ta'ala is the most merciful. Compared to this disobedience of Allah Ta'ala I'm about to engage in, what is the mercy of Allah Ta'ala which is unlimited? He'll engage in the disobedience of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And then he thinks, Shadidul Iqab, Allah Ta'ala is the most punishing. He will never think about repentance because his mind will go towards the wrath and the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, no, اعلموا أن الله شديد العقاب. During your worldly lives, at default, remember the punishment of Allah Ta'ala is severe. Why? That will not allow you to engage in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. And if a person still slips up, despite keeping the punishment of Allah Ta'ala, which is severe in nature within his mind, he engages in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Ghafurur Rahim. Now turn towards Allah Ta'ala. Why? Because قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Never become despondent in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah Ta'ala will forgive all your sins through one regret and remorse you have within 1 second of your lives. My brothers, remember, we need to turn towards Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. This is the month in which we are to pay more attention towards our spirituality. This is the month in which we are to try to attach ourselves to the glorious Quran. We say this is an incorrect concept, that you say deen was complete upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This then means that we overlook the companions. This then means we overlook the rightly guided khulafa of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My brothers, pay attention to these one or two points. Within this verse we find, when Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the completion of deen, who does Allah Ta'ala make mention the deen has been completed upon? Allah Ta'ala doesn't mention, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكَ دِينَكَ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكَ نِعْمَتِي. That O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon you deen has become perfect and complete. No, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you along with the group of the companions are such that my deen has become complete and perfect upon all yourselves. And within this verse, such great indications, Allahu Akbar. If we were to look into this verse, we can understand many a points through this one verse alone. And these are indications. There's various things we can understand once it comes to the glorious Quran. One is a clear-cut, transparent, explicit mention of something. One is an implicit mention of something in a vague and ambiguous manner. And at certain times, we can take indications through verses of the glorious Quran. Within this verse, in which Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the completion and the perfection of the deen of Islam, once we pay attention towards the word Qum, I upon whom the glorious Quran became complete and perfect, this word Qum appears 4 times in total. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena, 4 times in total. We gain an indication that deen has become complete. Within this deen, we have the concept of the 4 rightly guided khulafa. Deen has become complete. Within this, we have an indication of the 4 great jurists of the ummah: Nu'man ibn Thabit Abu Hanifa, Malik ibn Anas, Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i, and Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And if we were to continue further on, we can also say we have an indication towards the 4 chains of tasawwuf and tazkiyah, which people refer to as the chains of spirituality. So we take the khulafa on board. And how much trust I was mentioning does Allah Ta'ala have in the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Hadith refers to that message of Allah Ta'ala in which the intent is of Allah Ta'ala, but the phrasing has been left upon the choice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I had a student, I mentioned something to him, and then I said to him that you may go out, and as long as my intent remains within this message, you can phrase the wording as you wish. This shows how much I trust the tongue of that student of mine. When Allah Ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that the intent will be mine, you can phrase this speech according to however you wish. Despite that, إِنْهُ وَإِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى, it will still come under the banner of my revelation. It shows how much Allah Ta'ala trusts the blessed tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How can we then raise objections with regards to statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? جب اللہ تعالیٰ کا نبی پاک کی زبان مبارک پر اتنا اعتماد ہے تو ہم کون سی مخلوق ہوتے ہیں, ہم کس کھیت کی مولی ہے کہ ہم نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی احادیث پر اعتراضات کر بیٹھے. This trust Allah Ta'ala had within the tongue of the Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم is the same trust the Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم had not only with regards to the 4 rightly guided khulafa, he had with regards to all his companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a whole. Alaykum bi sunnati, hold tight to my sunnah, wa sunnati al khulafa al rashidin al mahdiyin, and also the sunnah of my rightly guided khulafa. Someone may then think that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned his sunnah separate, and he has mentioned the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa separate. Does this mean that the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa can then conflict, contradict and oppose the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through a subtle indication within this same hadith, gives the answer that this is impossible. Whatever my sunnah is the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa, and whatever the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa, in reality is my sunnah. تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا, hold tightly to it. وَعَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ, and ensure you put it between your molars and you hold very tight to it with your molars. My brother's question, the question is that if Zayd and Amr, two individuals walked into the room and my teacher wanted to give me an instruction to adhere to their teachings, he would use the dual pronoun that adhere to their teachings. He would not say adhere to his teachings. Why? When two people are being referred to, two things are being referred to, you use a dual pronoun. When one thing is being referred to, you use a singular pronoun. Question in this hadith is, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have mentioned your sunnah number 1. You mentioned the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa number 2. But after that you then mentioned, تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا, not hold on to them, hold on to it. وَعَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ, put it between your molars, not put them between your molars, and close your mouth firmly. why have you mentioned singular it when we've got two sunan plural? The answer is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving a subtle indication towards the fact and the reality that the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa can never conflict with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's the month of Ramadan. People say that Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an gathered all the companions alayhim ridwan into one congregation. And Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an himself mentions, ni'matil bid'atu hadhihi, what a great innovation is this. People say that this means Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an carried out an act which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam never approved of during his lifetime. During the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my brothers, the Taraweeh prayer in congregation was performed for 3 nights in total. Once it came to the 4th night, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never left his home. He remained within his home, and he also mentioned a reason for this as well. This reason I'm about to mention, a very, very interesting reason. So some people say that Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an got together the companions behind one imam in a congregation, and they started to perform the Taraweeh prayer again in congregation, and it was only performed in this manner during 3 days of the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This sunnah of Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an conflicts with the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My brothers, our response again is the same, that the sunnah of any of the rightly guided khulafa, it cannot conflict with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It can only go in line with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why? Please understand, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam never came out for the 4th day, the companions alayhim ridwan had this question that we've got large groups who are attending this congregational prayer. Why has the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam not come out again? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam responded by mentioning, أو كما قال النبي sallallahu alayhi wasallam, إني خشيت أن تفترض عليكم, I fear this prayer will become obligatory upon yourselves. The Prophet mentioned, the reason for why we are no longer about to perform this prayer in congregation is because I fear it will become obligatory upon ourselves. For how long can something become obligatory within the Sharia? As long as revelation comes. And how long can revelation come for? As long as a prophet is present. When the prophet left the world, revelation stopped to come down. Now there's no possibility of this prayer becoming obligatory through the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an came to realize the wish of my beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that we continue to perform this prayer in congregation. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam temporarily put a halt to this. Why? Because he fears it will become obligatory. Now it cannot become obligatory as revelation is no longer being revealed. Let's go through with this wish and this desire of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why the actions of the rightly guided khulafa, the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa, will never conflict with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Baat kaha pahunch gayi, mujhe bhi maloom nahi. We sit in a car and we start driving once the bayan starts, and where the car takes us to, that's not in my control, I'm very sorry to say. Sometimes, even yesterday performing salah, taraweeh salah behind the imam, mashallah, such a beautiful recitation. My brothers, do you know those youngsters who stand on this musalla? They're a great blessing of Allah Ta'ala for ourselves. Once it comes to other walks of life, we encourage, we put our children forward. Once it comes to secular education, nothing wrong with it, but we push them forward. Mazid aage baro. But once it comes to the deen of Allah Ta'ala, nor do we push them forward, nor do we encourage them, nor do we give them such opportunities. Such beautiful voices, mashallah. If we don't promote them on the musalla, then remember they're going to be promoted by people in the music industry. We've got no one else to blame except ourselves. And when they do come onto the musalla at the tender age of 15, maybe 16 years old, they get one or two mistakes, and then we say that he doesn't even know how to recite properly. Like, he's becoming closer to Allah Ta'ala, and when the shayateen are locked up during the month of Ramadan, we're playing his role for him. That, no, make sure you don't lead it next year. That's it, too many mistakes this year. It's a ghaltiya hai na ghaltiya. یہ انسانی فطرت میں ہے. آدم علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام بھول گئے تھے. صرف وہ نہیں, نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے یہ بات خود فرمائی ہے that during prayer اذا نسیت if I become forgetful فذکرونی then and show you remind myself. جب یہ آدم علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام سے بھی ہوا, جب نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے بھی ہوا, تو ان کے مقابلے میں ہمارے حفاظ پھر کون ہوتے ہیں؟ Do you know they recite the Quran each day at the maximum, each one of them will get 3 mistakes. This within itself is a miracle of the glorious Quran. Hame kya maloom? If someone brings to us a book in the Chinese language and they say that, say for example, it's 500 pages long, we want you to learn this off by heart, and tomorrow or next year during the Taraweeh prayer, we want you to recite this Chinese book in Taraweeh prayer for us. My brothers, we won't even complete one unit, I'm telling you now why. Because we don't even understand the Chinese language. None of these children understand the Arabic language. Despite that, they've committed the entire Quran to their memories. And during the month of Ramadan, they come here and they present our case in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are ukhrawi and lawyers in the hereafter for ourselves. And we have the audacity to turn around and say, Yaar, you know, he got 3 or 4 mistakes today. Ye ni'mat hai hamare liye. And wallahi al-azim, I'm telling you this. I'll pass away. May Allah Ta'ala give our respected Imam Sahib a very long, healthy life. May Allah Ta'ala accept his journey of Umrah. Bring him back safe to ourselves so we can continue to benefit from him for the long-term future. He's also going to pass away one day. The current ulama we have, they will all pass away one day. Who's then going to take this musalla? Who's going to perform imamah upon this musalla? The time is far, my brothers. Send them all towards secular education. Once it comes to hifdh, we say, leave it. Once it comes to ilm, knowledge, we say, leave it. Remember, a day will come if we continue like this. There will be no one to stand here and lead us and present our case in the court of Allah Ta'ala. We have a case in the world. We want to present it in court. We ensure we've got the best lawyer. Why? The greater the lawyer, the more chances of our success. My brothers, these huffaz are our lawyers in the hereafter. Once it comes to our prayer, we present it before Allah Ta'ala. These are our representatives in the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. If we don't have respect for them, we'll lose them. We'll have no lawyer. Being the feeble, weak individuals we are, we will try to present what into the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. I'm not saying this because I'm a hafiz. I'm not saying this because I'm an alim. I know where I stand, alhamdulillah. I know who I am as a person. Allah Ta'ala knows who I am as a person. But I've got immense respect for those children who stand upon this musalla. Normally we say that humne inko hifz karwa diya, humne inko ilm sikha diya, to phir ye kahan sikhayenge? Aur saath saath mein yahi shikayat hai ki har maulvi ka pet itna bhara hai ki ise bhara ho hi nahi sakta. It just doesn't make sense. This is how shaitan makes us work once he comes to knowledge and the glorious Quran. He won't let you turn towards it or turn your children towards it. Why? Because he'll make you think that where will the food come from? And those who have become a ulama and hufal, Allah Ta'ala blesses them with so much that he takes you away from them and he makes you say that how can they even eat so much? Look at the size of the bellies. It was approximately 6 Ramadans ago. I went towards London to lead the Taraweeh prayer and the time for iftar came, so someone took us to the home for iftar. And one of them was an estate agent and one was a lawyer. So we sat down before iftar, we had a discussion regarding atheism, etc. And then all the food came upon the table, all the different type of dishes. I took this moment, I looked towards them and I said, would you normally have this many dishes upon your table? And I'm a blunt person, my brothers, proper blunt person. Why? Because we need to learn these lessons during this worldly life. There's no use learning lessons once our eyes close within the grave. I said that, would you normally have this many dishes upon the table? He said, no. I said, why do you have them? He said, because you're here today. I said, this shows through me Allah's fed you as well. Remember this point. Due to these huffaz, you will not only benefit in the life hereafter, due to these huffaz, you will also benefit during this worldly life. Jo sakina hum par nazil hota hai, inke Quran ke parne ke waqt, wo sakina hum kahan se la sakte hai? Those youngsters standing at the back, throughout the entire year, they may listen to music. They may engage in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. What keeps them or what makes them standing the Taraweeh prayer, listening to this glorious Qur'an? Is Qur'an mein wo kashish hai, jo kisi dusri shay mein hai hi nahi. The benefit is in this worldly life and also in the hereafter. Let's try to take maximum benefit from them. The reality is so-called Easter holidays. So I thought I'll mention some points regarding Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, which were going to be quite unique in nature. I actually liked them myself as well before I came. But once we came here, we sat down and we went somewhere else. Bas itna hi hai. Honestly, respect the Qur'an. Your respect for the Qur'an can only become apparent once you respect the people of the Qur'an. Respect the ahadith. Your respect for the ahadith can only become apparent once you respect the people of hadith. Respect juristic rulings of the sharia. Your respect for them can only become apparent once you love the people who have a connection and affiliation with juristic rulings. Qari se muhabbat nahi, Quran se muhabbat nahi ho sakti. Muhaddith se muhabbat nahi, hadith se muhabbat nahi ho sakti. Faqih se muhabbat nahi, fiqh se muhabbat nahi ho sakti. Someone comes to me and they say, Saifuddin, we revere you, we've got respect for you, we honor you, we like you, we've got love for you. I go home and I say to my daughter Aisha, that does that person respect you? No, he badmouths me. I'll go back and I'll say, this is just a claim of yours. If you had respect for me, your dad would respect my children as well. Khuda se muhabbat ke da'we aur qurra se muhabbat nahi. Nabi paak se muhabbat ke da'we, muhaddithun se muhabbat nahi. Yuhi fuqaha se muhabbat ke da'we, fiqh se muhabbat nahi. My brothers, let's change for the better. And the best way to change is respect those individuals who will steer our spiritual car towards the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Once they take us on board, we'll have to sit on the mode of transport and inshaAllah Ta'ala they will navigate us to paradise. And if we don't even have trust in those people who have got those healthy cars which will take us to our destination, then there is no possibility of us reaching our destination with the feeble weak legs and with the feeble weak bodies we have. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability. Before the adhan is called out, just one or two important announcements. I will hopefully, inshaAllah Ta'ala, repeat them after the prayer as well. The first announcement is that for those brothers who intend to sit i'tikaf in the last 10 days of Ramadan, you know we've not got many days remaining now. So I request that whoever's interested, they give their names to Mullah Kaleem Sahib, inshaAllah Ta'ala. To jin hazrat ki niyat hai ke wo Ramadan ke akhiri 10 dino mein اعتکاف میں بیٹھیں گے تو ان تمام حضرات سے گزارش کی جاتی ہے کہ وہ مولانا کریم صاحب کو اپنے نام دے دے تاکہ انشاءاللہ تعالی انتظامی امور میں ہمارے لیے کچھ آسانی ہو جائے. The second announcement is that we are very lucky. Honestly, we are very, very lucky. We sit within one masjid and we get speakers from all over the world attending. We've had speakers from different places in the UK. We've had speakers from different places in the world like India. And now, inshaAllah Ta'ala, during this next week, we're very honored that we're going to have a respected guest coming all the way from South Africa, just in order to give us a few words of advice. Samjhe na unko kya milne wala hai? They pay for the tickets themselves. They pay for the residence themselves. They pay for their own food. They won't even take a penny for it. All the sacrifice they go through is only for ourselves. And if we still don't take maximum benefit from this, then there is no one who can be a bigger loser than ourselves. So next week, and a great speaker for the youth, especially my brothers, so many fitan, so many trials and tribulations. If we listen to speeches like the speech of this speaker who's going to come to our masjid for 2 days, inshaAllah Ta'ala, and have multiple programs, I can say with assurity, if we listen with sincerity and with dedication, this will definitely become not only a means of our Ramadan changing, a means of our lives changing as well. Okay, he speaks mainly in the English language. Inshallah Ta'ala, there may be some Urdu language involved as well. So on Monday, inshallah Ta'ala, after the Asr Salah, which is at 7 o'clock, so this upcoming Monday, he will give a talk after the Asr Salah at 7 o'clock, and the discussion is with regards to waking up to the threat of the devil. Now we look around, we don't even need to go far away anymore. We wake up in the morning to have cereal and we've got a threat of the devil upon the cereal box as well in this day and age. So we don't need to go far. So imagine the bigger challenges we have, especially the youth. He's going to discuss how we can wake up. We're asleep in reality. He's going to explain to us how to open our eyes so we can come to realize the challenges we face in this day and age. Then on Tuesday, after the Dhuhr prayer, which is at 1:45, There will be a program for the sisters in the madrasa hall. My brothers, we benefit, we come to the masjid. Why not give our sisters an opportunity to benefit from such great speakers as well? So I make a request that we don't only participate ourselves. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your relatives. Spread it far and wide. People who live in other cities and towns close by, also invite them to come. Inshallah ta'ala, you'll only have good words for me. Never mind the speaker afterwards. You'll have nothing negative to say. And then after the Asr Salah on Tuesday, there will be spiritual lessons on Suratul Kahf, a very important surah with regards to how to preserve our iman. And then after the Taraweeh prayer on Tuesday, so after the Taraweeh prayer comes to an end on Tuesday, there will be advice for the youth. So my brothers, please make the most of these opportunities. I'm going to try to make the most myself. I request everyone else to do the same as well. Please fill in the gaps whilst the adhan is taking place. Everyone, please move forwards. There's quite a lot of empty gaps I can see. Jazakumullahu khairan.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح Allah